We got to remember to tell our history, because when you tell your history, you save your family.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Michelle Wright, and I got my co-host, Fallon Sales.
Hey, everybody, how y'all doing?
And welcome to the 99 Ways to Win podcast. It is March, St. Patrick's Day, spring. What's the other thing? Women's History Month, all that good stuff. All that good stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit about women and faith and all that good stuff. And Fallon has already warned me to not go off on a tangent with this because I'm very excited about this movie that's coming out, and I'm excited about the studio that's making it, but I'm not going to make this long. There's a movie called Cabrini about a woman in like the 19th century that like founded orphanages and was helping the needy and all of this stuff, and just had all these different odds that she was going up against because, you know, back in the day, women did not have the freedom or the respect that they do now. But it's put out by Angel Studios. The name of it is Cabrini, and I am definitely going to see it. It comes out the first weekend of March, so go to angelstudios.com, check it out. They're all over social media if you want to watch trailers and whatnot. And if funds are an issue, Angel Studios does this pay it forward thing. So if you go to the website, you can see where you can actually claim a free ticket, which is actually what I did for actually a couple of movies that I went to that were by Angel Studios, The Shift and Sound of Freedom. And y'all, the movies were so good. Like the message was so good. And then at the end, they ask you if you want to scan the QR code and buy the ticket. So I ended up buying the ticket at the end because I was like, I wanted to support what they were doing. So they make good faith-based movies, but they're not cheesy. They're not corny. So check it out, Angel Studios, Cabrini, and see what you think. All right, so we are going to let Fallon take the stage. Fallon, you were telling me, I can't remember if you read an article or you heard a message preached, but they were talking about different women of faith in the Bible. It's a book. Okay, so different women of faith in the Bible. I'm going to stop messing it up.
Nah, you
get you. I like this. You know, it's Women's History Month. Let's talk about it. What we got? What women in the Bible would you like to discuss today?
First of all, we got to start with the queen. You know, Eve. So you know, a lot of Eve is gonna. I've seen some videos of Eve. They're saying, when I get to heaven, the way I look at Eve, you know, and some of them have hauled off and hit her. Or you.
You messed it up for everybody.
Exactly what they're saying. You know, you messed it up. And so
they ain't getting in. They just don't know they ain't getting in.
Right. So with Women's History Month, what are we saying? What are we saying about women? You know, what are we wanting to highlight about women? What's so good about women? You know, the resiliency, right? The minds. Me as a single mother, you're a single mother as well. You know, the tenacity, the strength that we have is just it's amazing. You know, and only the Father could have gave that to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with Eve, everybody really just looks at her, you know, from what I see, I've only heard the bad that Eve was part to. She was deceived for one, so now you're gullible, you know. And now, then you went on and did it, so now you're disobedient. Then you go and set your man up. You know, and so you set your man up, you give him the fruit, and now we all screwed. So
basically, that sounds accurate. No, but
and that's all I've heard.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah, so that's all I've really heard about Eve. And if you don't know, Eve is at the very front of the Bible in Genesis. I think she shows up, in chapter 3, maybe 3 or 4, you know.
After he named the animal.
After he named.
So what I want to say about Eve, and this is relatable to every single woman out here, you know, that I believe that every woman has messed up in a time of life. You know, Eve messed up. Eve could have went a different way. Hmm. We're talking about God. God. In the garden. She had to face him, right? I can't imagine facing God right now and looking at holding accounts of what I've done.
I think about when I sin and how I feel and I try to hide by not getting out of bed and keeping my eyes closed. But, like, I can't literally, like, feel his presence or, like, he's not walking through my townhouse. You know, it's like he walked through the garden, like, whew, wow. Mm. You said something there.
So, like you were saying, though, you know, he's not in the house with you, right? But you try to hide from him anyway, right? Eve did the same thing, right? But she could have went a different way, you know, and we'll talk about the fact that she blamed the serpent. The serpent deceived me. It was just a real bad show here. You know what I mean? On all levels. Eve messed up. I've messed up. Right?
Me too. Me three.
Right. Right. There's only one thing Eve did.
Do we want any of our mess ups written out in
Please
a book
no.
for millions of people to read for centuries and centuries to come?
Nah. Man. So I think about Eve, and when I think about Eve, I think about how she had to look at God.
Mm.
And with that, he gave her a punishment, right? He told her what? He told her that her childbearing would be more painful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But instead of Eve just giving up, turning away, feeling sorry for herself, and I know you could tell the fact that she didn't do that because when she gave birth to Seth, or when she gave birth to even Cain, you know, she said, "The Lord."
Mm.
Has blessed me, you know what I'm saying, has given me a man, you know, so this was, she still was praising the Lord after this curse that he cursed us with, right?
Mm.
But the most beautiful thing about it to me is that she saw the good in the punishment.
Hmm.
So God says, you know, she's the best, what is, optimistic person. Like, she's super optimistic, right? You got to say that because...
Okay, you're going to help me out. What you mean?
Well, if God tells me this, and this happens in real life. Somebody tells you something negative, right? God says you're going to have pain during childbirth. You're like, oh my gosh, it's gonna hurt, it's gonna hurt, it's gonna do this, it's gonna do this. You're upset, right? So your boss tells you, hey, you gotta start working two more extra hours, you know what I'm saying? And we're like, man, I gotta work two extra hours. What's this about? You know? Then I want you to be optimistic though. Two extra hours is maybe $40 extra. He was already there, so, you know, I mean, not like you're wasting gas, it's $40 extra right here. And you come out of day, multiply that, you know, now you got $200 extra on your check, you know, so, you know, you can look at it that way. And Eve looked at it, mercy, 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 Father. Eve looked at it as, I get to have children. I feel able to be the mother of every single human being. Thank you, Father. And for that, I will worship you. She 10 toes down. I messed up, Father, but I thank you.
Wow.
That's how merciful God is, though. Like, we haven't really paid attention to the fact that Eve still worshiped. She had to look God in the face. He cursed her, punished her, and she still praised the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise Thank God for that, because we wouldn't have got Seth, you know. You know.
Right?
Oh, you know, it's just, she still praised the Lord. Where'd Seth get it from? So we can't run.
Adam too, but yeah.
Absolutely. We talk about women.
Yes, ma'am.
Women, because we already know how, I mean, if we want, I'm sorry to go on the negative tip, but, you know, Adam didn't have to take the fruit. You know what I'm saying? So
I've been saying it.
Yeah. So if Eve had to turn her back on God, Adam probably might want to just follow right behind
her. Hey. Do brother man like that.
That's the power of the woman, though.
It's possible. It's possible.
I believe it. Hey, that's the power of the woman.
What they say, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck to turn the head.
You hear me? You hear me? We do it.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny. Wow. That is such a good point, though. I really have never heard that brought out. I like that. I like that. Huh. Okay. All right. What else you got, sis?
I have Abigail. Do you know who Abigail is?
Oh my gosh, wait. Did she have that evil husband?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love this story. Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, you talk about being smart and wise.
What do you think about Abigail?
Ooh. I ain't gonna steal your thunder. You just
no. Go ahead. Tell me, what do you think?
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you got to think about the fact that her husband. Obviously, she was a submissive wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was submissive, even though he was who he was.
Who was he? Talk to us.
He was a. What do they call it? It starts with an S.
I don't know. Because, like, they called him brutish or something like it's, that.
I think it started with an S, though. But
He was a jerk.
Right.
And he was a jerk. He was arrogant.
Very stingy, you know, hateful.
Yep.
Yeah, hateful. Just an awful person to be around. That's the type of guy, Nabal was the type of guy to where you don't want to go. If you see him coming down the street, you might act like you're doing something so that you don't have
to. Act like you don't see him.
Yeah, he wanted him.
When you're at the mall, you say you just go on the other side and keep look at the store.
Right.
He didn't see me yet.
The clouds, you know.
Oh my gosh! That dude
so you wonder how did he get a beautiful wife, like a beautiful, smart, intelligent wife, right? You know,
probably by an arranged marriage.
Right. So arranged marriage. So this woman was she honored her duties. She does what she's supposed to do, and some people would say that, you know. Like most of the matriarchs that we talk about, you know, they stood up for what they believed in and they said no, you know, But this one, she didn't, you know, because I can't imagine being in an arranged marriage with somebody who is just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, like, I can't imagine that. But and she didn't step up like that and say, no, I'm not going to do this. She honored the tradition. I believe that's another way to look at bravery. People will say that you stand up for what you believe in. That's brave. But also going through it and standing in it is brave. You know, we all have different ways to be.
Talk about it.
Absolutely. We have different ways to be brave people. Some would hide a little bit, but they could still, you know, and some stand up in it. So that's, you know, so with Abigail, I respect her for, first of all, dealing with that.
First of all, dealing with that at home.
But also for her to, she understood her role. And when I say that, when David was coming and he was asking, when his servants came to the house to ask for food and things like that, this is King David. You know what I mean? Like, and this man is so, now I don't know if he knew this was King David.
Well, was David king at that time?
He wasn't king yet. He wasn't king yet.
He wasn't king. No, because I think he was still, he might have been running for Saul.
Yeah, he was still running for
Saul. Yeah, because he was talking about how, like, hey, you know, I took your sheep, you know, we watched out for him and everything, so we need a little help, Nabal.
Right. But, you know, David didn't look like just some raggedy person either, though. Mm-hmm. You knew he had some status about him, and you still said no.
He said, who is this David? Who is... Okay, so he knew... Okay. Hold up. Let me just go... May I just read?
Yes, please.
Okay, so this is... And we're sorry, y'all. We didn't even give you no... Eve, most people know who Eve is in Genesis, but this is 1 Samuel 25. All right, so while David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. He sent 10 young men and said to them, go to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name and say to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that it's sheep shearing time, and when your shepherds were here with us, we did not mistreat them. The whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore, be favorable to my men, since we come at festive time. Please give your servants, he was even humble, please give your servants and your son, David, showing respect, whatever you can find for them. He's like, hey, hook us up with a little food. We passing through. We looked out for you. We looked out for your men, made sure none of that stuff went missing. So can you return the favor, please, sir? So Nabal said, it says when David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name, and then they waited. Nabal answered David's servants, who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Well, if you're son of Jesse, then that means you know who he is then. Many servants are breaking away from their master these days. Why should I take my bread and water and meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where? So he was like, who is you? You ain't nobody. Forget you.
That's a jerk. You know, the Bible tells us to, if you got on two coats, give somebody one.
Yep. Well, even, unless, go back to Old Testament, that was talking about you're supposed to be kind to strangers and the foreigner and... Like, this ain't nothing new. You know better than this dude. Absolutely. And he got a whole, he got all these men. Well, he's going to find out. He was about to find out. I'll let you tell that part.
Well, he just, I mean, yeah, you're right, though. He sent you 10 to tell it.
So how many more do he got other than that? Just, he got a posse, dude.
Yeah.
He got a posse.
He sent them, look, though, when his wife got wind of that, took off. Hey.
Wait, back up, hold up. You got to tell them why is this important. Why was what, before we talk about what Abigail did, why was it important? Because what happened?
What you mean, what happened? After that he said no?
Yeah, what did David
do? Oh, David was like, oh, we should have killed everybody. Let's go in.
Yeah, he said, let's ride out.
Yeah, you know, he don't know. Okay, he don't know. Let me just go on real quick. Let me get on down. And David was going to kill everybody in the house. Servants, everybody.
Yep. What Abigail do when she found out what her dumb husband did?
She sat up there. She got food. Now, mind you, if they didn't have enough, then I don't think she would have done it because it would have been known. Obviously, this man is abusive. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, or whatever.
Well, shoot, I don't care if they didn't have enough. I don't want to get killed, so I would have...
Listen, touche.
But no, I'm sure he had plenty.
He had plenty. And she brought more than enough to these men and said, hey, my husband crazy. I can actually kind of see her. Cause me, personally, I'd have been like, hey, that man over there.
Oh, my God.
You know, what do the old people call it back in the day? What he got, the where your mind ain't right
touched
or whatever?
In the head.
Yeah, he touched in the head. Forgive him.
Oh, my God.
He said, here's this. Let us alone. Don't do nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She just happened to be beautiful, right? Happened to be beautiful. But that to me is the most, like, not only was she saving her own life, I'm not sure if that was even her biggest worry.
Mm.
It was the fact that he was going to kill everybody.
Mm.
You know, because she could have slipped off.
And actually, now I'm looking at it, he was going to kill all the men.
Oh, just the men?
Yeah. And when you were talking, I thought about it because, you know, with war and all this stuff like that, you know, they would usually
not
kill
the women.
Or enslave the men, but they'd take the women and kids, you know, and marry them. Mm. So, yeah, she could have been free of them. Just let all the men get killed.
Oh, she was honoring the men. She was protecting her husband. She honored. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
It is.
That's a good one, man.
It is. And
too. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm glad that you brought her up because, you know, like you said, she was submissive. And we so often misunderstand that because we can think that's being, okay, so submissive wife, that would mean, okay, well, he said no. He said he ain't going to send nothing. So I guess we just got to sit here because technically she disobeyed his wishes,
right?
By getting the bread, getting the water and all that. She disobeyed his wishes to go take that to David to make peace with him because she knew that was the sensible right thing to do to save everybody's life.
Yes.
So we have to use discernment as far as like, okay, when do I go with what he's saying? And when is it like, you about to get us killed or this is going against God. She's like, no, wait. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Now, what she did not do is go to Nabal and start talking crazy to him.
Mm.
What are you doing?
Come on.
She knew he was doing whatever he was doing. She told the servants, hey, come on, get this stuff. Let's go.
But you got to also, though, check this out. A wise woman knows her man. Even if she did go to him and said, hey, they're about to kill us, or you even, they're about to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
She knew he wouldn't listen.
And he even says that in the verse, like, nobody can talk to him, something like that. It says, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You got to know.
She knew her husband.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
That's a wise woman to me. Just how respectful she was to David. I don't know if you got that scripture up with what she says to David when she meets with him.
Let's see. Okay. Yeah, so she went up there. Okay, when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "Pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to the wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my lord sent. And now, my lord, as surely as," and back then they said, my lord, this is kind of like mister or whatever, she's not worshiping him. "And now, my lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives and as you live, since the Lord," capital, all caps, "has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my lord be like Nabal. And let his gift, which your servant has brought to my lord, be given to the men who follow you." So she's basically like, hey, she's showing respect. She saw a reverence. She's like, I'm sorry. I didn't see your men. I wasn't there when they asked. My husband is a fool. Which was a wise thing to say at that point, because she knew he was about to roll in and kill everybody. And she also said, like, the Lord has spared you from bloodshed. He's like, okay, this is keeping you from going and killing people. She's like, look, this is good for you too. And she's acknowledging the Lord. So, like, yeah. Yeah.
That's a good one. Now, why would she flatter David?
We don't have to be men. We just need to be women.
Yeah. We know how to move. Behind every great man.
That was so much power in that.
Yeah, she did that.
She knew what to do.
She was like, and sir, you don't even have to kill anybody.
The Lord has kept you from bloodshed.
Look at that, because I'm over here with your food. You can see that? Look at God.
Amen.
That's what happened, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, she knew what to do. She did it. That's a woman standing on what she's supposed to do. She could have stood up to not marry him, but she chose her battle. And when it was time to act against Nabal, which wasn't necessarily against him, it was for him, but not doing what he said, that was the smartest thing to do at the time. She saved her family.
Yeah. It was against his wishes, but it was in his best interest.
Absolutely.
Clearly, like, there's no question it was. Because, you know, we can rationalize stuff and try, well, you know, okay. But that was clearly, there's no mistaking that. Like, you finna die.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go to the next one, I want to read David's response to her. David said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak."
And that's on that. He said that.
I sure was going to tear him up. I'm glad you came. Okay. All right. Who's our next woman of faith?
I'm trying to... So I'm stuck between two. And they both start with R's. Do you have a clue?
Rahab and Rachel?
Rachel would have been all the women that were mentioned in the Bible were just straight queens. Except
no.
Jezebel. I didn't really like her. But,
yeah, definitely not Jezebel. Okay,
but she,
so I know
she
right
was
on
a, but listen, though, Jezebel, she wasn't on the right side. But she did her thing. She did the same thing Abigail did. She used her. So, I mean, she was hardcore. You know what I'm saying? She did what she did. Also, what's his name's wife was like that. I didn't like her either. But anywho, the wife that killed John the Baptist.
Yeah,
well,
I
ain't like
I mean, what you expect from somebody to leave one guy and go marry his brother?
The scandals in the Bible, you know, if you ain't read your Bible and you want some gossip,
it's in there.
It's
Ragu,
in there.
A little Ragu commercial. Okay, right. But, okay, so what's the other R?
I was between Rahab. You know, that's my girl. I am Rahab.
Interesting.
I feel a close relation to her.
That's a shirt right there.
Man, I am Rahab.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Joshua, too, is where you can find Rahab. She was a prostitute. But she was a successful prostitute, and I'm gonna say that because, like, she was what you would call an escort at this point. You know, she's not a prostitute; she's an escort.
Wait, because how do you know all that?
I did research to see how, you know, like, it was expensive to live on the wall.
Mm. Okay, she was a high class call girl.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm.
So it was expensive to live on the wall, and her house was on the wall.
She had the penthouse.
And she needed a way for these men to sneak out the house just in case their wives came. Look at them.
No, she did not. No, she did not. I never really thought about that.
Just think she had a scarlet whatever long enough to lower some men down from her window just on a whim. She already had the product. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was always lower men down from her window.
I never thought about that. Okay, so let's just back up for people that may not know who Rahab is. Give us an abbreviated story of what happened with her. And what?
Rahab was a Gentile woman that lived at the walls of Jericho. And she was a high-class prostitute whom Joshua had sent some spies because they were about ready to take the Hebrews that had left Egypt, finally were allowed to go ahead into Canaan and take over. So he needed to send spies. Joshua sent spies to go and find out about Jericho. The two spies that came, they needed somewhere to hide because everybody heard about the Hebrews already. They seen them, too. They were just over the camp. So they were already on high alert for Hebrews, like, because they knew already about their God. Their God parted the Red Sea. You know,
mm-hmm.
So
they heard about that.
Right. Their history is preceding them. So so they're on high alert. They heard that two spies got in. The spies had to hide. Guess where they went? Rahab's house. So went to Rahab's house. She had to lie, say, hey, I ain't seen no men. I think they went out the back, you know, over there. threw them that way while she, you know, kept them in her house and hid them, then told them where to go to hide from the people that were looking for them, and eventually basically was responsible for her whole family to be spared during the slaughter after Jericho's walls fell. Because she made a deal with them. She said, hey, I can help you. I know. You know what's so beautiful? She said, I heard about your God. Heard about him. She, at this point, she didn't even know she was moving on faith.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I heard about your God. I heard what he can do. She's a believer already, but she don't even know it. She hasn't confessed it with her mouth yet. You see what I'm saying? She hasn't confessed him with her mouth. But even then, she heard about it. She believed. And she said, just keep my family from being hurt when y'all come. When y'all come.
Yeah.
And tear this place down.
Yeah. Yeah, because she was like, I already know you're gonna take us out.
Because you're going to win. Because we heard about your God.
You know, I never thought of, wow. I guess, you know, you read stuff, you hear, you know, especially if you grow up going to church and stuff, you hear Bible stories and you just kind of take it for granted and really don't think about what it's like to really be in the situation and stuff. But as you're talking, and I'm thinking, like, she could have been like, here they are, here they are. She could have turned them in.
For money, which is her profession.
What was like? What stopped her from turning them in? Like you said, she believed. She was like, no. She feared God. She was like, I heard.
Good fear. Good fear.
Yeah. Reverence, respect. Like, oh, I don't want to mess with this God. This is he's real. This is the one they serving. All this stuff. I'm not gonna do nothing to these men. I've got to watch out for these guys. Because if I watch out for them, then they can watch out for me.
Hello. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Like, because if she didn't have the faith, like you said, in the God that she didn't really know, but she heard about, then she would have just been like, oh, here they are. They was trying to see what was going on. Here you go. Here they are.
Yeah.
But she put her own life at risk hiding them. Because what if they had found them?
Exactly.
That's good. And then she ended up being in the lineage of Jesus.
Absolutely.
I can't remember who she ended up marrying, but like, then she ended up being like in the lineage of, like, I think maybe
Boaz. She was Boaz's. We don't know exactly how.
Grandma, maybe.
She was, huh?
She might have been Boaz's grandma.
That's what I'm thinking. She was probably, but I'm not sure, you know, on the timeline, but I don't know, maybe, I know she came through with Boaz, through Boaz at some point, you know what I mean? So I think she was his grandmother or whatever. And you could say that, you got to think about this, Boaz.
She was Boaz's mother. Matthew chapter 1 has the lineage of Jesus. So it says, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Yeah, so, wow. She gave birth to Boaz, who then married Ruth. Wow.
Yeah. So check this out. So this woman, you know, and I just want to say this. You know, we on this, we feel guilty. We feel like we've done too much to be saved by the Lord. We've done too much to be redeemed. This woman had plenty of sins. Eve had one big one. And at the end of the day, the Lord used them. to bring the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Rahab saved her family. No matter where she came from, she saved her whole family. We got to remember to tell our history. Because when you tell your history, you save your family. See, Boaz would have never, probably never have married Ruth. Was it Ruth? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because she was a Moabite woman.
She was a Moabite. He had a tenderness in his heart for a Gentile woman because my mother was one.
Mm.
A lot of men marry a woman that's like their mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My mother, and I'm not talking about mine, I'm saying Boaz is like my mom, heard about God, followed God, and here we are. This young lady heard about God, followed God, and here she is at my feet.
I never thought about that. Oh, my gosh, I never thought about that. You are so right. I never thought about that. You are so right.
It's beautiful.
The only reason that Ruth was in Israel or wherever they were is because she followed Naomi after her husband died. And they was like, I'm going back to my country. You go back to your family. You know, you can get married again. You're young, whatever. And she's like, no. My land will be your land. My land, your land will be my land. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. You know, people make the jokes about mother-in-laws all the time, right? In-laws. Oh, the in-laws get on your nerves. But there was something about Naomi, apparently. It's something about the character of Ruth. There's something about Naomi. She was like, no, I want to go with my mother-in-law. I don't want to go back home. I don't want to go back home and, you know, yeah, I know I probably could get married. I want to go with you.
What did Naomi's name mean?
I don't remember because I know when she came back, she changed it. I think it meant something like joy or it was something positive because when she came back, she was so sad that her husband had died, both her sons had died, and she was like, don't call me Naomi anymore. I remember that very specifically.
Yeah. But her name, you got to think about who, I think it meant joy, right?
Girl, didn't I tell you I don't know? I'm trying to find it.
Now, for some reason, it came to me like that. I was like, why does it mean joy? But we got to think, she was gone for quite some time.
Mm.
When she returned back to her land, they were happy to see her.
Oh.
They remembered her.
Oh, come on now. Come on, fella. I don't remember that detail.
Yeah, they remembered her. They was like, is that Naomi?
Mm.
That's how good she was to people.
That would be you if you went away and came back somewhere.
Oh, thanks. Like, for real, though. Like, she left for years, came back, and all they had were open arms for that woman.
Naomi means pleasant.
Pleasant. Wow.
I didn't know that.
Isn't that beautiful?
Pleasant. Okay. Well, apparently she was.
That's enough. That's why I say, man, God is so good. He's so amazing. He puts these pieces together, and he makes it all make sense, you know?
Mm.
And we learn these things at different times in our lives. So the biggest thing that I take from these things is to talk about the history of yourself so that you can help other women. My cousin Danielle, she says, you know, a lot of people talk about being what kind of woman? Proverbs 31 woman,
yeah.
Yeah. But my cousin Dawn talks about being a Titus 2 woman.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, it says that your older women are to teach the younger women. They don't know how great they are until you tell them where you came from and what they are capable of.
Yes, and encourage them.
Got to.
That's it. Yeah, being a Proverbs 31 woman is just not just about what you do for your family. And even if you look at it, if you read it, it talks about her having, you know, kindness and giving, and mm-hmm. it's like she's taking care of people. And then it's like, okay, when you're doing all that, then yeah, you should be mentoring. And because of Don, I went to a different Bible class the past couple of Sundays, where it's like young professionals, so it's like millennials in there. I was like, okay, I've been thinking about going in there. I got my two main classes, but I'm going there, and you know, it was a blessing. I learned from them. I enjoyed listening to them. I had my comments or whatever, and yeah, we gotta get out of our box, you know, and make sure that we are doing this intergenerational, because I do love that in the time that we're in, we do have, you know, different classes and different groups. So like, you know, you can have people that like you have stuff in common with, you know, or by your age group or by this or by that. And it is very helpful, but we have to be careful that we don't just silo ourselves off and then be in our own little cultural ghetto, even in the church, where it's like, oh, well, I'm only, you know, I got a family, I've got a growing family, so I'm just with other parents that got kids, or I'm just with this group, or I'm just with that group. Like,
right.
No, we're all in the family. We all, I mean, you don't do that in your regular family.
Right.
Hopefully, if it's a healthy family, you know, like, you know, granddaddy talks to the grandkids, and the uncles talk to the nieces and nephews, and
right.
The older brother talks to the younger brother, like we all in it together.
Yeah.
So definitely supposed to be like that in the family of God. But yeah, that's good. All right, so far we've done Eve, we've done Abigail, and we've done Rahab. Give me one more. You said you was debating between two R's?
And the other one was Ruth. We talked about her.
Ah, sneaky. All right. That's good.
Good women.
Say what now?
They're good, strong women.
I know one.
Yay!
Let me see. Give me a moment. Okay, so the last woman of faith, I finally found it, is in Acts. The last woman of faith that we're going to talk about is in Acts chapter 9. She is not somebody that's like talked about a lot or anything, but her name is Tabitha. So I'm just going to kind of like scan through the passage. Peter traveled about the country. He went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. He was going there to heal people and all of that stuff. And then it says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. So this was in Joppa, and that city was near Lydda, where Peter was. So Lydda was near Joppa. Some disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, and they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room, and all the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. So this woman, Tabitha, was a literal do-gooder. You know, she was always helping the poor and widows. And back then, you know, stuff was not like it is now. So if a woman did not have a father or a husband or older brother or something to take care of her, you know, she would be poor. You know, you have to have a man, you know, to speak for you, to take care of you. So these widows, she was making clothing for them. And, you know, she got sick, she died, and they're like, they're crying, and they're like, you know, look at what she did. And so Peter's there, so he sent all of them out of the room, got down on his knees and prayed, and turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called to the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. So, yeah, Tabitha, this woman that, she's not famous, she's not, you know, she wasn't married to one of the apostles, or she wasn't a prophetess, or anything. She was doing what she could do. Hmm. She saw people in need, and she helped them. Apparently, she could sew, because it says she was making clothes for the widows. She saw the need. She had a heart to meet those needs, to the point where all of these people are like, okay, no, she didn't die. No, go get Peter. Go get Peter. And he came. And he raised her up. And, you know, I had told you, Fallon, I said, you know, we didn't get into a whole bunch of deep stuff of, like, what I was talking about. But this really is the essence of what, you know, I wanted to encourage us as women to remember is, like, yeah, you know, this whole thing about, oh, well, can women do this in church? Can women do that in church? Why we can't do this? Why the Bible say this? What are you able to do? Let's focus on what we're able to do. All these women that we named, they didn't have, like, these important, quote-unquote important, because we didn't even talk about Esther. Now, Esther was a queen. Everybody know Queen Esther. All of these people we talked about, they're just regular women living godly lives, being good examples, godly character, being wise, loving people. Y'all, we can make a difference. We don't have to lust after titles. We don't have to lust after, well, how come I can't do the same thing they do? How come I'm just as good as a man? Yes, you are. That doesn't mean you got to do exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you can do.
Yeah.
This woman served to the point where she got a second chance at life. She got a whole second half that she wasn't even supposed to get.
Mercy.
Serving. So, I just encourage us, you know, make a difference where you are. And nobody's more important or less important than somebody else. You know, you may be a student. You may be. Maybe you didn't go to school. And you're like, well, I'm just working. I'm just single. I don't have kids. I don't have a husband. I don't even have a boyfriend. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God loves you. God will use you. God can use you. He's using you. You don't even know it. You don't know who you're encouraging. You don't know who is looking up to you, no matter what age you are. I see people that are younger than me and them being positive and them doing good things and them being faithful, they build my spirit up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what you got to say on this, Alan.
Tabitha. She took care of the widows. That's a commandment.
Mm.
She's already doing. I don't know. Was she, you know, in these stories, we don't know whether these people were active, you know, doing the right thing or whatever, or obeying the commandments. But I can say that Tabitha was definitely one of the ones that had read the tablet. You know, she was doing what the Lord told her to do, and the blessing is that those people that she helped, I mean, it came back tenfold to her. They were forever grateful. And I don't know if they were even, if they were Gentiles or not, that she was helping. It doesn't say that, does it?
Yeah, I don't know. She was in the city of Joppa. And so, I didn't research this beforehand, so I don't know where Joppa is. But it mentions her Greek name being Dorcas. So
Greek?
Yeah, so you know, that makes me think. Yeah. That y'all can research that. We might look at it. We might revisit that later. But yeah.
Well, it's just
these
that
were believers. These were believers, whether they were Jewish or Gentile, they were believers. And you know, they went to get Peter, like, hey, wait a minute. You need to come. You need to come take care of this woman because she's been taken care of.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, things that you do, the Lord will take care of. He will use you. He used her in life, and then he used her in death. Because when he brought her back to life, many believers, many people converted to this, you know?
Yes.
So it's just, she was a true testimony, a walking testimony, you know, a living testimony and a dead testimony.
Oh, man.
You know, and it's just, people can come. The beauty of the people that she helped coming on her behalf.
Mm.
It's just amazing to me. Like, they going to find someone to get her up. She's too good to die right now. We can't do it without her.
I just think the belief that they had. She already dead. She wasn't sick on her death, but she was already dead. They said they didn't wash her body.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to go get Peter. He can raise her up. They didn't get Jesus either.
They got Peter.
Yeah, because Jesus was already gone. This is an act.
Exactly.
So Jesus already resurrected. But like, no, we know Peter's doing miracles.
That's right.
Peter has the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's
they believe.
He can do it. And I believe that that's what helped them. You know, like, you got to remember, even when Jesus healed, their belief in him healed. The woman didn't, Jesus didn't have to touch that woman with the blood.
Mm.
She believed in her heart that just touching him, his garment.
Touching his garment. I ain't got to touch his body. If I can touch just the edge of his robe.
So that in itself, you got to believe. That's what brought that woman back.
Because he said, yep.
even what do they call it, a centurion or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
That came to meet Jesus.
Yeah.
He was like, you ain't got to come in the house. Just say a word.
I'm going to be honest.
Jesus,
I don't even
was
have that.
Marveled.
I don't have that faith.
Yeah.
I don't have that faith. I want him to come walk to the house with me and
come
preferably
on,
touch her, but at least come to the house so I can see you. Wow.
He said, oh, you ain't got to do that.
Just
say it and it's done.
And it was done.
He almost knocked Jesus down with it, with the belief. You know what I'm saying? He was like, what? Somebody believe this? Like, this how much belief? I have not seen this.
In all Israel.
So it's our belief. Whoa. We got to believe that he's a healer. We got to believe in his promises. We got to believe who he is.
So you're making me think now, because we've been in that young professionals class with the millennials in there. The teacher is talking about you're talking about prayer and what we believe God intervene. How does God intervene, or how much does he intervene, and stuff like that. And, you know, the tension between, like, okay, well, I can ask for this, but is he actually going to do it? And then if, you know, should I, you know, then it's disappointing if he doesn't do it, and I don't know if he's going to say it, you know, answer it or not, if he's going to, or he's going to answer it the way I want to, and stuff like that. But, man, you look at this, like, Peter was in a different city. doesn't say that he was intending on going in that city at all. They could have, you know, she passed away. She lived a godly life. She passed away. They have a service and they mourn and then they go on about their business. And that would have, there would have been nothing wrong with that. And it could have been like that. But they said, no, let's go ask.
Come on.
And so God did something that wasn't necessarily already in the plan. Now, somebody may say, well, yeah, he knew that they were going to do it. He sent, put it on their heart. Maybe he did, but maybe he didn't. Maybe they just said, you know what? No, we don't want her to go yet.
Hmm.
Let me go ask.
Yeah.
And because they asked and they believed, they got their blessing. She got their blessing. And we have to intercede for people.
Yeah.
We got to intercede for people. Because like I said, she was gone. So she was gone. Like, her spirit was already with the Lord, you know. And they were like, uh-uh, no, wait. We want you back. And we have to intercede for people. There's power in intercession. And
yeah.
Transparency, y'all, I know I run my mouth. I know I started this podcast, and yes, I can talk over Fallon and interrupt. And truth, transparency, and humor. We're going to go put it out there. I know all of that, all of the above, but y'all, I couldn't get started. I couldn't get started today. I had stuff that was bothering me, and this sister, Fallon, just thank God for her. She interceded for me. She talked to me. She helped me talk through some things, and I still wasn't quite right. She was like, okay. She prayed for me so I could do what I needed to do so we could get this episode out. And there's nothing like having a sister in Christ, a brother in Christ, a mother in Christ, a father in Christ, a believer,
yeah, Lord,
to go to God on your behalf when you do not have the strength, when you don't have the words, when you don't.
Thank you, Lord.
We got to do that for each other, y'all. We got to do that for each other.
Thank
you. And you don't know. You don't know what people are going through.
Thank
you. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know what they're dealing with, what they may need, and that person that you think doesn't need your prayer, they may actually need it.
Hmm.
Don't think, oh, well, they got it all together. They this or they that or they, you don't know. And while we're on this topic, so, like, the ones that's always helping, the ones that's always teaching, the ones that's always there for everybody. And
come on.
Okay, and talk to myself now. Your preachers, your ministers, your elders, your deacons, yes, they're strong. Yes, they're your leaders. Yes, they pray for each other. We need to be praying for them.
Yeah.
Don't just take it for granted that they're okay. They're human. They're people. They need strength. And especially if you see that they're doing well, especially if you see they're living for God, they're encouraging, pray for them.
Yeah.
Pray for them.
Mercy, especially. Especially.
I don't know. And oddly enough, the story of Tabitha with the helping the poor ties into the movie Cabrini, because that's why they made a movie about her, because she started an orphanage and was helping these poor kids and ended up starting a school and all in hospitals and all this stuff. But yeah, that's all I got. I think I'm gonna be quiet now.
Oh my goodness. Lord, help us, Father.
But seriously, that's all I got. I wanted to speak about Tabitha. That story just, I don't know, it just has stuck out in my mind, and I didn't even remember where it was. I didn't even remember the woman's name. I thought it was Lydia, but Lydda is the city where Peter was. Hey,
it would have found me.
I just knew there was a woman, and I remember it was a woman that she died. And that the people were saying, look, you know, look at these clothes that she made for us. And she got resurrected. That's what I remember. That's what I remember. They were showing him, look what she did for us. She cared about us. And she got resurrected. I don't even know how many stories there are of people being resurrected after Jesus went back to heaven.
I'm going to just say one more thing about that, though. Like, the thing is, like, I think my preacher was talking about this one day, too. He was saying, you know, when you're giving stuff, give stuff. Don't, like, it sounds to me like what she made for them was not just raggedy stuff.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? It sounded to me like this stuff was good stuff that she made. She made it with love, and she made it with intention on being nice for them. It was nice on them. You know what I'm saying? She didn't just go grab some rags and stuff and like, well, here, they could take anything because they need it. A lot, we don't mind giving out our trash, do we? We don't mind giving out the stuff that we don't want anymore. But where's the sacrifice in that? So
you mean do unto others as we would have them do unto?
Well, how about that?
We want something nice, so give somebody something nice.
Yeah. How about that? Part with something that's gonna hurt you.
Or even if it don't hurt you, just let it be something that you would want. Because you may have, because, for instance, if you got three nice dresses, you got three nice dresses that you don't wear as much, whatever, you got three purses.
Don't wait till it's worn out.
Whatever, you know, and you got other ones too. These are nice too, but you got some other ones, so it's like, it ain't even going to hurt you to give that.
Yeah,
and you see somebody that come to church every day that they're about your size or they whatever, or they maybe kind of got the same style as you, and it's like, are you like, okay, well, I don't want to give this up because, well, I like having this because I use all of mine and I switch out, or is it like, you know what, I do enjoy this, but I see that they don't seem to have one at all. Maybe I should bless them with this.
Absolutely.
And Lord knows people have blessed me, not particularly with a dress or a purse, but other things.
Absolutely. You know, just when you give, try to give decent to where, not saying you got to give that's going to hurt you, but do right by folks. This woman, I don't know her marital status, but whatever she was doing something nice, kind, and it was worthy.
Yeah.
Worthy. It was worth it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this was good stuff. They showing this. Hey, this is what she do.
Right.
This is what she do.
Yeah.
Now, if you had brought some raggedy holy robes to him, he'd been like,
"No, they would never send for Peter if that was the case."
What you said? That's another thing.
They never would have sent for Peter.
Never. Probably not.
No, she was putting in work. She put love and effort into that.
You know, and, it wasn't junk.
Shout out to Sister Estella Flanoid. Speaking of Titus too, because when my kids were younger and they went to a youth conference with the church, she took the time to take my daughter to get some nice shoes, so she would have some dress shoes, nice dress shoes to wear to the banquet on the last day of that conference. And my baby came home, she probably was maybe 8, 9, something like that, 10. She was like, oh, look at that. I was like, oh, where'd you get that? And they were nice. Speaking of doing something, you know, because she could have just got, oh, just what? They were like, they were nice, you know? And I was like, oh, where you get that? Oh, Sister Flanoid got them for me. She was like, no. I was like, oh, hey, you know, when I saw her at church, I was like, she's like, yeah, you know, I just thought it would look cute with her dress. And I was just like, wow. And I was just so touched, you know, and I saw the pride and the happiness on my daughter's face, you know, she never had anything nice like that, because I was just, you know, I'm struggling, so I'm just trying to buy something to look halfway decent. Like, these work, they're black, they go with everything, here you go. You know, she had some, had a little heel on it, had a little straps, a little white or pearl color or whatever, and I was like, wow, man. She loved, I felt loved. I felt she loved my daughter.
Yeah.
I wasn't even there. I wasn't there. Did nobody ask her to do that? She didn't have to come out of her pocket and spend money on this little kid. She saw an opportunity.
Look for him.
And that just blessed me so much. And I was just like, wow. So these little things that, you know, you may think it's a little thing, but it's not a little thing.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Mercy, Lord. Thank you, sister.
And Fallon, you're welcome to give shout-outs if you want to. I got to give one more shout-out to my friend, my girl, my bestie, Trisha Reed. Trish. Man, you talk about a modern-day woman that she just ministers with her life, with her whole life. So thankful for her. We've been friends for 10-plus years. Christian, wife, mother, nurse, came out of the workforce so she could homeschool her kids. She's working on graduating that third one. She got one more. She teaches the kids sometimes in the Bible class. She sees somebody going through something, she's making them a card. She's, you know, asking for prayers for people. When I was taking care of my mom, you know, one time she even offered, let me fix you something. She makes me like this pan of this like pasta stuff and brings it to me so I don't have to cook for the kids that night. Just ministering in her everyday life. And yes, she is a faithful supporter of the podcast, even when I had no clue what I was doing. It was so random and inconsistent. Even that was blessing in ministry because it kept me going. All right, your turn. Here's your couple of women of faith you want to shout out.
Well, for one, you know, I know I talk about her a lot, but I have to do it. You know, I have to tell that Danielle Dockery didn't give up on me with my faith walk. Like, man, she just didn't give up on me. And that was, she just kept sending me scripture and stuff and prayer calls and stuff when I was out, and eventually got on there, and I haven't looked back since. So she saved my life, this life, so that I can have everlasting life. You hear me? So the fact that she thought that.
How do you know Don?
He's my first cousin. He's my first cousin. So I kind of, you know, first cousins are like siblings, you know. So there's that. But, yeah, and we did not get along our whole life until probably, I want to say, 8 years ago. And wow. we haven't looked back since, you know. We had got on this road trip. And it's so crazy because it was like we didn't care for each other even then. But I was like, man, it's about five or six of us girl cousins going, so I ain't got to be around her that much. So I ain't going to work. So we gotta go. And one by one, they kept dropping off. And eventually, it was just me and Dawn left. Which, you know, looking back now, I can tell that that's actually a testament to who we both are. We're going to stick to our word. That we're going to do. No shade on anybody else that didn't come. It's just because things happen. But
right. Me
and Dawn were determined to go on that trip. And, again, God works and puts puzzles together. And, you know, she said, she was like, oh, Fallon, it's just you and me. You still want to go?
Awkward.
And I said, yeah. But, you know, that was my fake yeah. You know, because.
You were like, no.
Hey,
yeah.
Her husband was like, Fallon. And my like, Dawn. Like, that's how everybody already knew.
Everybody knew. Everybody knew it was not a secret.
Right. So it was just like, but we went, and in that 3-hour trip, We laughed, cried, confessed. I mean, it was the best. I had the best time of my life, man, to be honest. I had the best time of my life. We went to France, Missouri. So she's one. She's a faithful believer, you know, and, you know, she's one that I can say that it's the little things.
Man.
She didn't have to shoot me a text message every time the prayer call was on. We're on. She didn't have to do that.
Oh, man. That's funny. If you're like, well, I shouldn't. Maybe I'm bothering her or something, but she just
knew it.
She knew. She just needed to do it. And, like, how many did she send before you actually went on one?
Quite a few.
We're not in control of when people respond.
Right.
We don't know. Just, you don't know what God is doing. You don't know when God is going to hook in and be like, okay.
So obey. Obey the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit tell you to send something, do it. It's, you never know. And so it's not on our time, it's on God's time.
Yeah.
You know. So she's one. I mean, I can give flowers. It's so many people that have done little things for me throughout my life. I mean, like, all those people that have been in my life and done something for me, that makes me feel a favoritism. God. Like, God, you putting all these people just in my path that's just doing stuff for me. What, you know,
oh,
so
man.
I say there's one lady that I would like to highlight, and her name is Sister Mary Scott. When I was 12 and 13, she would come pick me up no matter what for church.
Oh.
And I didn't have to call her. She'd be outside. You going? If you know, it just be outside. You know, like just
aww.
Her and her husband. But you know how us women we pull the strings. So her husband was driving, but
we got to go pick up Fallon. We got to see if Fallon won't go to church today.
That's okay. Right. And they didn't have to do that. We weren't close kin. I think she's like my second cousin or something like that, like second or third cousin, but older, you know?
Yeah.
But she did take the time to do that. And I love her for that because that was the seed. And so just a reminder, people, if you see young kids and their parents are willing to let them go to church with you or something like that, take them.
Take them. Because that you 12 or 13, and then you finally really came to the Lord at what age?
40.
We don't know when the seed going to take root. We don't know when it's going to spring, when the whatever, the bloom.
When it sprout up and stay.
The, yeah. When it's going to break up through the. I did whatever, and you think nothing happened. You're like, well, I guess that didn't do any good.
Yeah, it sprouted up in the rock. A couple of times, you know what I'm saying? The word sprout up in the rock a couple of times, you know. And eventually it got planted on fertile ground, you know.
Come on now.
And it sprung up.
Come
you
on.
You know, and it stayed up. You know, it didn't get choked out.
Mm.
Didn't stay up. And it didn't, the sun didn't bake it away. It stayed, you know, and I'm so thankful for that because only God do that. Only God do that. And he chose, and that's how you can take so much comfort in knowing that you're his, because he actually chose you. He says, that's my child. That's a beautiful thing. And he'll never let you go.
Mm.
We have to remember that. Our parents don't abandon our children.
Okay.
When they disobey us. Like you said, I think you told me that, didn't you? It's like, you know, we don't abandon our children. When they do something wrong, God is 10 times the better parent than I would ever be.
Ditto, honey, girl.
You hear me? He is a better parent than I will ever be. So,
So if we won't throw our kids away, then why would we think he would throw us away?
Come on. Beautiful thing. God is good. He is perfect, and he has a perfect plan. And I'm just thankful to be a part of it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, so, you know, everybody out there in the 99 Ways community, thank you for listening. Let us know what you think. Let us know. Let us give us feedback on the podcast. Give us feedback on what we talked about. Do you have any questions? Could you relate to something? Did it remind you of somebody, you know, in your life that's a woman of faith? Or is there somebody in the Bible that you want us to talk about? Let us know. If you don't have a relationship with Christ or you're not sure if you're a Christian, you can reach out to us. Obviously, if you already know somebody, reach out to somebody that you know. Look for a Church of Christ in your area, but you can reach out to us. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. You can email us, Fallon@99ways2win.com, Michelle@99ways2win.com. If you're not sure you know how to spell that, hello@99ways2win.com. We hope that you have found this encouraging. Whatever you didn't like, let us know. We may or may not change it based on what you say. But seriously, we do this. We hope you enjoy it. We hope you learn something from it. But we hope you enjoy it as well. We prayed last time. I think we'll go ahead and pray. Which one of us going to pray?
I brought you in.
Okay, so you want me to pray. Okay. Father God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to talk about women of faith. Just a few of the women, Father, that show us how good you are.
Yes.
That show us your mercy, that show us that you've gifted us to be a blessing, to protect the people and the men in our lives, to be thankful, to bring life into this world, to do good and to help people, to be wise in how we move and how we respond to things that are going on, to know when to submit and when to go along, and to know maybe when to kind of buck the system or do something a little different.
Yes, Lord.
Pray, Father, that you would give us, that you would give everybody listening, Father, discernment.
Yes,
help
Lord.
Help us, Father, to have faith in you. Help us to be guided by you. Help us, Father God, to make a difference where we are with
what
we have.
Yeah,
to
Lord.
Be thankful for what we have, despite the challenges, despite the struggles, despite the things that aren't the way that we would like them to be, Father. Let us focus on you.
Yeah, Lord.
The power that you have, Father, and the giftings that you've given us, and do everything we can with that. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, y'all. Until next time, this is Michelle Wright and
Fallon Sales.
Keep seeking your
success.